Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, July 14th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Splendid. Splendid. What's your name? Jeff. Jeff. Splendid, Jeff.
Yes, I put a name tag on so you could look right through the glass and see it.
Excellent. Thank you.
And also with me today, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm very good. I'm pleased to be here. I'm up in the observatory, so I can't see you through the glass.
That's all right. We have you on the closed circuit television.
That's funny, John.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, also awesome, we have a sponsor this week, which I think is absolutely great, hence the awesomeness. And that sponsor is Harry's, the razor company. And you might think, why a razor blade company on a technology podcast? And what it comes down to is we all need to look good at some point. So why not have really good tools at a really good price?
Even us tech guys.
Yes. I know some guys with really thick beards that still do some shaving because they want to make sure their beard looks as sharp as it can. So there you go. Everyone should look as good as they can, I think. So anyhow, Harry's, the reason I love them and their products, and yes, I actually do use Harry's blades, is because they have really great quality and really great prices. So, for example, you can get into a Harry's starter kit for $15. And that's just shipped right to you. They don't have their products in stores. They make all their stuff themselves, and it's really high-quality products. They even bought a company in Germany that makes high-quality razor blades just so that they could have their own and control the quality. So you get a starter kit, $15. It has the handle, some blades, and the shaving cream and everything you need to get started. And I've been really, really impressed with the quality of the shaves that you can get off of their products. Now, even better than the $15 price is that you guys and gals, everyone, our listeners, you can buy a Harry's starter kit for $10 because they're giving all of you $5 off your first purchase. All you need to do is go to their website and use the discount code TDO, which stands for TMO Daily Observations. Very clever, I thought.
That's very clever. Look at that.
Yeah.
TDO right there.
There you go. TDO. So go to their website, harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. Pick out the starter kit that you want. And I believe the one that I have is the Truman. And it's great. I travel with it all the time. I love that it has this little cover for the razor blade head, so I can throw it into my toiletry kit in my suitcase, and it's not getting banged up or cutting up anything. It's a very smart little move on their part. I love the details. So anyhow, go to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself a really great shaving kit today so that you can look just as beautiful or even more beautiful than me. All right. So I wanted both of you on the show today because there's all this talk about the 12.9-inch iPad, the iPad Pro, and both of you had something to say about this yesterday. And where I wanted to start, Brian actually falls in your camp a little bit, or a lot. You cited DigiTimes as a source, and people have a hard time swallowing any information that DigiTimes hands out, but you don't. Why?
Well, you know, Apple products have Apple product rumors even have a life cycle. There's the early dribs and drabs. Did you catch that, John? By the way, I'd done it wrong originally.
Yeah, I caught
dribs and drabs. Anyway, the stuff comes out in dribs and drabs. You know, maybe Apple's testing a component. You know, when you're 18 months, 12 to 24 months out from a product being released, not everything is going to be accurate. You're going to be getting stuff from the supply chain that may or may not have anything to do with what actually with what Apple ends up doing. But there comes a point where the rumors for a product reach what I call, you know, definitely happening territory. They sort of reach a tipping point for being able to count on what's actually coming. And the closer you get to the actual release date, the more solid those rumors are. And the thing about DigiTimes is, maybe, I don't know, I want to say 10 years ago, I didn't actually go and look at look up a bunch of archived articles or anything, but roughly several years ago, DigiTime was pretty inaccurate. They clearly had sources within Apple's supply chain, but those sources weren't always accurate, and DigiTimes did a really, really bad job of drawing conclusions based on the source, the leaks that they were getting. But for the last 2-3 years, probably 3 years, DigiTimes has been really accurate, especially when we get close to that release date, about, you know, anywhere between two to 4 months out. They have been really accurate. And a lot of people want to sort of continue to dismiss them because of years past, but, you know, that's just ignoring reality, and I don't like doing that.
No, you don't. And the fact that you're watching what they're doing and have been able to pick up on the pattern of accuracy that they've had lately, and by lately I mean over the past couple of years, that's actually pretty big, because a lot of people have just continued to discount what DigiTimes is saying.
Yeah, you know, we get that in article comments a lot. We get that over on Facebook. You know, you can talk about our stuff over on Facebook if you want. And it just really doesn't make any sense. And it's not just DigiTimes, by the way. There have been other leaked bits on the iPad Pro in particular. John, I linked to a piece that you wrote in 2013 where you were theorizing that Apple would come out with a large iPad.
I've always felt that there needed to be a bigger screen from time immemorial.
You've been a pretty strong advocate of that. And it wasn't too long after that we did start getting some of those dribs and drabs coming out of the supply chain. But nothing concrete at all. But I think we've reached that concrete point. DigiTimes in particular said that Foxconn was going to be making the thing, that Apple was going to release it in November, and that Apple was being cautious about the number of components and whatnot that it was ordering ahead of time. And that's kind of what you wrote about it, didn't you, John?
Yeah, I was intrigued by the word cautious. We talked about that yesterday before both of our articles went up. And I think I came to the conclusion that the word cautious was an interpretation by DigiTimes and the supply chain in terms of what Apple was trying to achieve, with maybe perhaps a less than spectacular order. Because when you think about iPads, you think about millions and millions and tens of millions, but it could very well be that Apple's ordered only a few million of these as a supplemental incremental device. And so in my article, I explored the evolutionary character of the iPad line to include this incremental product, the iPad Pro.
So, John, you're thinking that when Apple comes out with the iPad Pro, and notice I'm now saying when and not if, because, Brian, you totally swayed me. I think it's really coming, and it's going to be this fall. John, you're thinking that Apple is not looking at this as a massive seller, like on the scale of the iPad or iPad Mini.
Exactly. In my article, I think Brian and I came up with a number of about 2 million additional units. Last quarter, quarter two, 2015, Apple's second fiscal quarter, they sold 12.6 million iPads. I think they'd be pleased if they sold maybe slightly more this quarter, maybe 14, and then added another couple million to that in the Christmas quarter with an iPad Pro to bring it up to 16 or 18, and then, you know, you get a boost at the Christmas time. So I see it as a sort of an exploration of what it's going to take to reaccelerate the iPad. I think we're in an early phase here. I don't know if it's the hype phase, but I think there was such a pent-up demand for the iPad at first that the sales, you know, really escalated. And if you drew a curve through the sales up through 2013, early 2013, it was a pretty sharply rising curve. And then things kind of evened off a little bit. And we've all talked about the reasons for that, the fact that the hardware changes weren't enough to compel people, the use cases, the fact that the operating system was not tailored to the iPad specifically. And so some of the silliness and ease of use features, by silliness I mean simplicity, that was appropriate to the iPhone really wasn't appropriate to the iPad, for example, managing your home screens and things like that. So,
and iPhone, it bears saying, John, that iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus also cannibalized some iPad sales.
Right. I mentioned that in the article, especially a 6 Plus, which for a lot of people is a lot of screen real estate, and you can do a lot of stuff there. So the iPhone 6 Plus and the awesome MacBook Airs are cannibalizing, and Tim Cook knows about that, and Apple shouldn't be really worried. I don't think they are. You know, you compete against yourself or someone will. But I think there's this, what I'm seeing is signs of Apple exploring how the iPad should evolve in the future. And it's a fairly new product in terms of, say, the PC, which has been around for 40 years. So there's plenty of life left in the iPad, and where it goes still remains to be seen. The story's not yet written. We're looking at big strides in the operating system. We're looking at the partnership with IBM and getting it into business. We're looking at upgrades to iOS 9 that allow you to do multiple screens, multitasking, and slide over. And so I see this as part of an evolving process of Apple's trying to figure out where the iPad goes next. And so it would be a mistake to conclude that the iPad Pro is a panic or that it's the future. I think it's just part of the life cycle and evolution of this formidable product called the iPad.
Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
When it comes to numbers, for how many Apple might sell and whether or not Apple's being cautious or simply placing a small order, I think that it's very important to realize that, like all of Apple's Pro products, it's not going to sell in anywhere near the numbers as the smaller products. Yeah. The iPad Mini and the iPad Air are still going to are going to massively outsell this thing. It'll probably this large screen Pro device will probably cannibalize some sales from the Air, which is fine. But I mean, it's going. Apple's Pro products are the premium products of the all of its premium product line, and it's definitely not going to be a massive seller.
But one of the things I pointed out in my article that I think it will do is, being a pro level product, it will take Apple outside of its comfort zone a little bit, as the iPad is a strictly, not strictly, but generally consumer device. I mean, the iPad is used in aviation right now, in cockpits, of course, and most of the airlines. It's used in science, probably used in government and military circles, but a larger screen could really get it boosted in some of the more professional circles. And that in turn could put additional pressure on Apple to up its game in terms of the usability and the elegance and the power of the user interface.
Now, with Apple planning or apparently planning on having what I'll call a small run of iPad Pros, so they're not planning on selling a lot of these, at least at first. I'm wondering if analysts, investors, pundits, and critics will look at those numbers and declare the iPad Pro a failure, and then even go a step farther and maybe get a little hyperbolic on us and then declare that this is the beginning of the end for the iPad as a whole.
Well, that's why I wrote that article yesterday, in principle, to try to explore with the readers some perspective about this cautious approach, according to Digitimes, and how, as Brian just said, it being a pro-level product, it's a supplement to the line. Yeah, we got to watch for that. You're right, Jeff.
All right, so now my next question. When the iPad Pro comes out, John, are you getting one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I've mentioned before that I abandoned my digital magazine project, which I wrote about a few years ago. You know, I think it was in 2013 when I decided I was going to convert all my paper magazines over to the iPad. And that was a disaster. It did not work out for me or for my wife. Mostly because magazines, when they're laying on the kitchen table or the coffee table, are so accessible, so easy to use. You pick it up. It's in your face all the time. It's all there in its paper glory. It's easy to navigate. You can randomly thumb through. You can quickly bypass the ads. You can go exactly where you want to go. But you don't have problems with screen formats. You don't have problems with scrolling around or trying to figure out where you are in the process.
Plus, and this is really important, it's a lot easier to roll up a magazine when you're shaking it with those meddlesome children hanging out on your lawn.
Right. So I switched over to paper for a while, but you know, when 12.9-inch iPad comes out, I might consider experimenting with magazines again and seeing how that goes. So yes, I will be buying one. I've skipped the iPad Air 2 in anticipation of the iPad Pro.
Now, I'm looking at the iPad Pro with anticipation because I'm curious how this will fit in with the creative and artistic world. Because for me, the idea of a bigger tablet at this point is very interesting for drawing and image editing and things that we're already using Wacom tablets for, and things that many people are already using have been using Wacom's Cintiq display tablets for a while. And we're seeing apps out already that let us use our iPad or iPad mini like a Cintiq tablet. And I'm wondering just how the iPad Pro will play into that and how useful it's going to be for artists.
Yeah, can you imagine an artist sitting back in his recliner trying to do some serious art on an iPad or an iPad mini? Bigger screens are better.
Well, the answer, John, is not only can I imagine it, I have experienced it because I have been creating art on my iPads for some time. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. What I found is that I don't like doing it on my mini, but it's an enjoyable experience on my iPad Air. So I can imagine, depending on how heavy the iPad Pro is, it could be even more rewarding on the bigger screen.
Yes, I think so.
Brian, how about you? Are you interested in getting an iPad Pro?
No, I'm not. I mean, yeah, sure, it would be nice to have lying around. Most of the things that I do with my iPad Air involve reading and some gaming and content consumption, you know, browsing the web, things that I like to do with a device that's small enough that I carry it around with me all the time. And I do, in fact, carry my iPad Air with me everywhere. And
I have a Mini 3 for that. Throw it in your Merce. Yes. I can't wait to fly the F-18 carrier landing simulator on a 13-inch screen. That's going to be awesome.
Some things like that would be fun, but for me, it would definitely. I absolutely recognize the potential value to a lot of people for the iPad Pro, for a large screen iPad. I am not one of those folks.
And I'm not convinced I'm going to buy one, but I'm very interested in seeing how they play out for the art community. So who knows? Maybe I will end up getting one at some point. Hey, we're out of time.
That went fast.
I know. Well, it always does when we're having fun. So, John, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
It's always awesome. And thank you to Harry's for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website and order one of their starter shaving kits. They're $15 regularly, but use a discount code TDO. Get yourself $5 off. The website's harrys.com. And listeners, thank you for joining us again today. We'll see everyone tomorrow.